Welcome to New Creation Fellowship's Proclamation Podcast. The vision of New Creation Fellowship is to live out heaven's cultural values through creative, redemptive innovation, so that people from all nations may experience the glorious reality of new creation in Christ. Next time you're in the Orlando area, we'd love for you to join us for our Sunday morning liturgy. Just visit our website at newcreationorl.org for more information on NCF. And now, may you receive the proclamation of the Word of God as it truly is the Word of God.
One of the greatest misconceptions is that an arranged marriage equals a forced marriage. Arrangement is more of a recognition that the marriage affects more than just the two people who have decided to marry. This was actually a quotation from the lady who began this Netflix show called Indian Matchmaker. And this is a show about literally Indian matchmaking. A lady who serves as the matchmaker, bringing together couples from different places, but also all of them with the background of being Indian, in order that they might have a great and awesome and long-lasting marriage. And she herself said these words: one of the greatest misconceptions is that arranged marriage equals forced marriage. But arrangement is more of a recognition that a marriage affects more than just the two people who have decided to marry. We have in the West a very wrong, erroneous, and dare I say problematic view when it comes to arranged marriage. So when we come to texts of scripture like this, we either look down upon arranged marriage and we say, oh, those archaic people who have never really learned, have as we have learned, how forceful that can be for somebody's life and how problematic somebody getting into an arranged marriage can be for the rest of their life. We either look down upon it or we simply say that's their culture, not ours, so there's nothing to learn from them. But we are people of what? Perfect unity. And what we have been trained to do by our pastors, primarily Pastor Ike, is to look at other cultures and say, what can we redemptively learn from what their culture does that is actually better than what our culture does already? So I want to say from the offset, this is a passage that can prayerfully teach us. It's a passage that can show us what it really looks like to have a match made in heaven. That honestly, when we in the West come together, we oftentimes are only focused on the two people who have decided to marry, forgetting that that one marriage affects far more people than just the two who have decided to marry. So what do? We get in this relationship out of love. And then we try to do this relationship on our own. We don't get consultation. We don't seek counsel. And then after the thing starts to crumble, then we want to blame the community for not helping us out. But the reality is that God in this text is going to show us just how important the community is for the union of matrimony. Just can I just like, this is just a side note. This is just me getting nerdy. We might have in our minds as we look at a text like this, that not only is arranged marriage equal to forced marriage, but forced marriage is equal to a problematic marriage. But you know that like statistically, this is just statistics. I'm just giving you numbers. Arranged marriage has a 6% divorce rate. Y'all want to know the divorce rate of what we would call love marriages? 45 to 50%. Now, I don't know if you know math, but 6% is a lot less than 45 to 50%. So even if the numbers are a bit skewed, there is a massive distinction between the divorce rate for those who choose their spouse and for those who choose their spouse within community. Now, immediately to that, I already know some ladies going to be like, but that don't mean they're happy in the marriage. Just because they stay in it don't mean that they're happy in it, though. Statistics continue to say that the satisfaction rate for those who have been placed in an arranged marriage is far, far greater than those who chose their spouse. In other words, you pick them and then don't like them no more. And then the people who don't really get to pick by themselves somehow are more satisfied in that marriage. Now, I don't know about you. I grew up when our teacher would arrange group projects and they would put me with a partner I ain't like for just a few weeks. And I couldn't stand the process. Anybody been there before?
Yep.
I don't know about you, but when I went to school, to university, I had to undergo an arrangement of my roommate. I happen to have an awesome roommate, but can anybody wave their hand if you just did not get the blessing of a great roommate? I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Hopefully that roommate is not in the room. So for me, it's confusing to believe that not an arrangement for a semester, not an arrangement for a week, but an arrangement for life can somehow be more satisfactory than someone choosing on their own. And yet all the statistics bear witness to this reality. I want to say from the offset, just like I gave caveats to the previous message, what I am not going to do is advocate necessarily for arranged marriage, because if I'm being honest, I got my own kids, and it'd be real nice to choose for Zipporah.
Amen.
I agree.
I hear that I agree. I hear that amen from the parents. Because there's something about being able to look this joker in the face. And say, you don't get to pick her, I pick you.
Right. Come on.
I'm a test if you really know Jesus. Let's walk through the text. As a matter of fact, you walk me from Genesis to Revelation. Tell me about the whole narrative of Scripture. What is this whole thing really about? I need to know your understanding of Torah. I need to know about your understanding of the wisdom literature. Tell me about the history books. Now take me to the New Testament and tell me about what Jesus really came to do. Tell me about the epistles and then bring me to Revelation where this whole thing is going to end. You're going to be tested. Did we just read about a test?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on.
You're going to be tested before you approach my daughter. And I kind of wish we lived in an arrangement culture so that the dude wouldn't be shocked when the father gave an exam.
That's okay,
right? But as a caveat, I am not necessarily advocating for arranged marriage. But what I am going to say is that when there is a match made in heaven,
come on.
Usually the community can see it on earth.
Wow, come on, God. Wow.
That's great.
That's so good.
That's great.
There are two primary points in this text, and I'm out of your way. We will see the proposal and we will see the pronouncement. And we see the proposal is the longest section. It's going to take us all the way literally through verse around 59. And the proposal is broken up into these two major sections of an invitation and a conversation. And it begins with the invitation, a welcome of this servant into the house of Laban. Notice the text from verse 29 through 33. It said, Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban. Laban literally means white in Hebrew. I don't think this means he was a white dude. I'm just telling you that. Laban ran out toward the man to the spring. As soon as he saw the ring and the bracelets on his sister's arms and heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, thus the man spoke to me. He heard the words of Rebekah, his sister. He had context for what he saw. Notice the text. He went to the man. And behold, he was standing by the camels at the spring. Context. What we saw last week is that this selfless servant goes all the way to the land of his master. his hometown. And when he gets there, when he arrives there, he shows up at a spring and he begins to pray to the God of his master that he would make his way successful. And he prays a very specific prayer that the one who I come to and say, let me have a drink, that shows, here's the word, excessive virtue through showing excessive hospitality. Let her be the one that you, Yahweh, have appointed for my master's son. So then Rebecca shows up and complies with his prayer. And he begins to worship the Lord because he knows now that his prayer has been answered. When she sees just a glimpse of what this selfless servant has shown up to do, she runs home and tells her family about these things. And we talked about last week of a different vision in the Gospels of a woman at a well running off and telling her hometown about some things. Mm-hmm. So now we come to this particular point in the text. And the text says that now that Rebecca has gone home, told Laban, her brother, about these things, now her brother Laban wants to check them out. So he goes to the spring where the man is still waiting to see, will they reject me or will they accept me? Will I get a rejection or an invitation? And then ultimately notice what the text says. It says, after Laban saw this man's wealth, he gives him a wealthy welcome. He said, come in, oh, blessed of the Lord. In other words, this servant is so wealthy that only God could have made him this successful. Why do you stand outside? For I prepared the house and a place for the camels. So the man came to the house and unharnessed the camels and gave straw to the fodder to the camels. And there was water to wash his feet and the feet of the one of the men who were with him. Then food was set before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have said what I have to say. And he said, speak on. Here's the scene. Laban comes out to the dude. He's very wealthy, so he gives him a wealthy welcome. He says, blessed are you of the Lord, of Yahweh. Only God, the creator of heaven and earth, could have blessed you to this degree. So after claiming him to be a person who is blessed, he says, come back to the crib. We got food. We got water. You can get a cleansing. And it's almost as though in this particular text, we see not a family curse, but a family blessing. How? Because the same hospitality that Laban is showing to the servant is the same hospitality that we saw that Abraham showed to the theophany, these three men who represented God.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that message on hospitality, where they received water for free, clean feet, rest under a tree, and a meal to eat. Yeah. They received water, a cleansing, rest, and a meal. And what do we see in this particular text? The servant receiving water, a cleansing, rest, and a meal. Yeah. It's almost as though the servant is a recipient of the same hospitality he is used to his master from back home showing.
Wow.
We can so often just hone in on the family cursing that we will see through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Namely, that them jokers were liars. Abraham was a liar. Passed it on honestly to Isaac. Passed it on honestly to Jacob. Just a family of liars.
Yeah.
Does anybody in here have some cursings that you had to overcome in Christ from your family of origin? Nobody want to raise their hand? I'll just raise mine for everybody else. But while we can so often hone in on the family curse, here we see a family blessing of virtue that is passed on from Abraham and not only to Isaac, but also through his whole family lineage, namely the virtue of hospitality.
Wow.
So after receiving this kind of familiar hospitality, you would think the selfless servant would get excited and just start grubbing. You would think he would get down to business. Now it's time to eat. The Lord has made my way successful. I am grateful for everything God has done. Let me get down to business. Think of Mulan. That's for all y'all Disney people right there. And then when the meal is placed before him, he says, before I eat, I still have some work to do. In other words, the attractions did not become a distraction from the purpose that he was sent for. It's almost as though this servant comes in the crib. He receives all this great hospitality. They clean to the feet, not only of him, but the people around him. They give water to the camels, food to the camels. He is receiving almost a fiesta, a party. But before he can indulge, he says to Laban, yo, before we move on, I need to share something because my food is to do the will of the one who sent me.
Wow. Yeah.
Can I just ask, just from the invitation section, is your food to do the will of the one who sent you?
Yeah.
Are you a selfless servant in the hands of Yahweh? Or are you distracted by the attractions? That if somebody does something real nice for you, you forget the purpose for which God sent you. If I'm just being honest in my life, so often I forget my commissioning, which is to be an ambassador of the kingdom of God. The reason why our job places are not changing and transforming is because we have forgotten that our food is to do the will of the one who sent us. The reason why many of our families are not being transformed is because we have forgotten that our food is to do the will of the one who sent us. The reason why, hear me, your relationships, are not being transformed by the King of Kings is because you have forgotten that even within that relationship, your food is to do the will of the one who sent you.
Wow. That's great.
Have you forgotten the purpose that God has placed on your life? The invitation. But next after the invitation, we see the longest section, and this is the conversation. And it begins with this servant's speech, and one thing that overruns the entire speech is namely the steadfast love, the chesed of Yahweh himself. Notice the text. It says, verse 34, so he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master, and he has become great. Can I just say as a side note real quick? Laban sees the dude and he sees how wealthy he is. He's amazed by all the jewelry that he has. He's amazed by the fact that he owns camels. And at this time, only really wealthy people can own camels. He's amazed by this man's wealth. And he says, only God could have blessed you in this way. And then the man at the beginning of his speech, you have to notice the text. He doesn't say, yes, I am blessed. Rather, what he says is whatever you, blessing you see upon me, it is but a secondhand blessing from my master. I serve someone greater than me. So what you see, there's more where that came from. Yo, people are going to see particular things in your life, and they're going to be amazed by you. And the question on the table is, will you quickly say, but this is a secondhand blessing? I just have a master who's really blessed. And there is more where that came from. You have total access to him, by the way. His name is Yeshua. If you turn in faith to him, the blessing you see upon me can be yours as well. This servant does not simply say, I'm blessed uniquely. He says, I am blessed surrogately. Through my master Abraham. Friends, this is true of every single believer and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are surrogately blessed through the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. Now check the text. This is good, yo. He has given him flocks and herds, him silver and gold, male servants and female servants, camels and donkeys. I'm just one of them. It's almost as though he's like trying to put the onus off himself so Laban doesn't get it twisted. Right. Now check the text. He says this. He says, "And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old. And to him, he has given all that he has. The father has put all that he has into the hands of the son." Verse 37. "My master made me swear, saying, 'You shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell, but you shall go to my father's house and to my clan and take a wife for my son.' I said to my master, 'Perhaps the woman will not follow me.'" It's a good idea. I appreciate this, Master Abraham. I am grateful for the commissioning that you're giving me. But what if it don't work? Verse 40. "But he said to me, 'Not my strategy is watertight.
Right.
Not my plan is foolproof.'" Yeah. "But he says, 'You're not going alone because I'm not sending you alone. The Lord, before whom I have walked, will send his angel with you and prosper your way. You shall take a wife for my son from my clan and from my father's house. Then you will be free from my oath when you come to my clan. And if they will not give her to you, you will be free from my oath." Verse 42. "So now the servant says, 'I came today to the spring and I said, Oh, Lord,'" there goes that name again, "'the God of my master Abraham, if now you are prospering the way that I go, behold, I am standing by the spring of water. Let the virgin who comes to draw water to him to whom I shall say, please give me a drink, a little water from your jar to drink, and who will say to me, drink, and I will draw for your camels also, let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son.'" Verse 45. "Before I had finished speaking into my heart." Anybody had God answer prayers before you had really finished speaking in your heart?
Yeah.
Man, this is when you like know it's the hand of God.
Right.
I think it's in Frozen where we like, where I think the little line is like, we finish each other's like sandwiches or something like that. And it's this phrase like we use in our culture, like we finish each other's sandwiches, finish each other's sentences. Yeah. Have you ever had God finish your prayerful sentence?
Yeah.
That it's like he took the words out of your heart and showed you what you wanted more than you can articulate. Like, honestly, as I look at New Creation Fellowship, this is happening right in front of me.
Yeah, it's good.
Where I had prayers for a church that was diverse, that loved Jesus, but never in my wildest imagination, especially in these last 2 months, can I have imagined a group of people. And I'm thinking about what the dudes have been through who are willing to confess sin, who are willing to expose their faults, who are willing to say, God, your way or the highway, who are willing, seriously willing to pack up and move to be a part of a movement. I believe that there could be some kind of church that would preach Jesus and be diverse. But never in my wildest imagination could I have imagined a people who were really sold out for Christ. And then I started to see the Lord just doing things here. And I began to say, I can't believe. And by the way, this is my story, maybe not yours. I didn't want to come to Orlando. Anybody else? I see that hand. All right. I did not want to come to Orlando. I didn't want to come here. Pastor Ike, and I just want to give more credit, Pastora Arianisis, real rap, prayed heaven down that our decision wouldn't be God's. Because we said no. And God said, I just like her more. I guess that's what he was saying. And he heard her prayer. Wow. But here's what's crazy. And in hearing her prayer, yeah, he finished the sentence of my heart, though. Because he brought me to a place that I didn't actually believe was possible. Wow. And we just starting, y'all. Wow. We ain't even celebrating a year yet. Yeah. I can't imagine what God has for us. But before I finished speaking in my heart, God answered my prayer. So, before he had finished speaking in my heart, look, behold, Rebecca came out with her water jar on her shoulder, and she went down to the spring and drew water. I said to her, he's just corresponding with the prayer. Please let me drink. She quickly let down her jar from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give your camels drink also. So I drank, and she gave the camels drink also. Then I asked her, whose daughter are you? She said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him. Remember? Yes. So I put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her arms. So I guess we don't do the rings on the finger. We do it in the nose. It's just a different context. Oh, she said that's biblical. And then I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had led me by the right way to take the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. Now then, somebody say now then.
Now then.
Say it with your chest. Now then.
Now then.
One more time. Now then.
Now then.
This is the first time he actually makes the proposal. And notice the proposal. He ain't begging. It's not like, oh, Laban. Oh, dad of Rebecca. Please give her hand in marriage to my master's son. Notice the swag in this dude. Now then, one more time, say now then.
Now then.
If you're going to show steadfast love and faithfulness to my master, tell me. And if not, tell me that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. In other words, this selfless servant makes a confident proposal, because what preceded the proposal was both his prayerfulness and God's presence.
Wow, that's good.
So he can make the proposal with a bit of swag, though. Why? Because his report, his entire speech, as he is relating to the father and the brother of the woman he is trying to take back to his master's son about what has happened, he does not give credit to strategy. He gives credit to sovereignty. And when sovereignty is the head of all that has happened, all you can do is say, get on board or else. We don't make confident proposals because we know the Lord ain't in it.
Wow.
Come on.
Preach.
Now, can we just get real? Some of y'all are single. Some of y'all are dating. And some of y'all are single and been trying to date. And my question is that, have you went through the process that we saw of this selfless servant? Mm-hmm. Prayer, a pondering, and praise. And then as evidence, have you seen, hear me, have you seen so clearly the evidence of God in it that as you begin to talk to their overseer, you can say with swag, God is in this coming together.
Yeah.
If you haven't, here's good news. If you're single or you're dating, you now have a chance. You get the opportunity to do it the right way.
Yeah.
This is why I'm like excited about our singles. Like, you get to hear this message and go through the process. You get to pray specific prayers, not based on simply preference, but on the promise. Yeah. You get to actually ask the Lord for godly things.
Yeah, come on.
You get to go before the Lord and say, yo, I don't want her to just be a churchgoer.
Come on.
But I want her to be more in love with you than she ever be will be with me.
Yeah.
I want her to be like into Jesus. I want her to not just like him, but like love him. Again, to use the language of Pastor Meech, to obsess over Jesus.
Yeah.
I want this lady to be somebody who is on her knees more than she's on her feet. Who knows how to soak in the presence of God. Who knows how to sit in the presence of God. Who, hear me, doesn't get quickly exhausted when the people of God are coming together thinking, when will this be over?
Wow.
Yeah.
But she has spiritual stamina.
Wow.
And knows how to sit with the King of Kings.
Yeah.
I want her to be a monster in the Word. I want us to be able to have conversations. You ever seen the Super Bowl or some regular NFL Sunday game, and then the Monday and the Tuesday and the Wednesday and the Thursday and the Friday and all the way to Saturday, they still lingering in a game that was played a week ago?
Come on. Yeah.
I want a girl who lingers in the Word like that.
Yeah.
Who we can just go back and forth and never get tired of talking about Jesus. And you can start praying those prayers. And I'm saying it as a fella. But ladies, be praying the same prayer.
Come on.
Yeah.
Like, start praying now. I have seen, like, help me Jesus right now in this moment that I don't, like, say mean things about pastors. But I have seen pastors in the pulpit tell people, go pray. You want a tall guy? Pray for him to be tall. And you want a diesel guy, pray for him to be diesel. And you want a good looking guy, pray for that. And like, I'm not mad at that, but our culture is so saturated with that.
Yeah.
That to reinforce what we already do naturally is actually going to have people praying prayers for preference rather than the promise.
Come on, let's go, God.
Come on.
Yeah.
But like, teach the people prayers about the promise.
Yes.
Teach ladies to pray for a dude who's a monster in the text.
Come on. Yeah.
Who knows the word, who can teach the word, who, Ephesians 5, water her with the word.
Yep. Yeah.
You can't water if your vessel's empty.
That's right.
Right. Uh-huh. Right.
Who can water you in the word, soak you in the word, who you can sit. Me and my wife talk about this all the time. One of our favorite things to do is to watch Adeyemi's hear Pastor Ike preach. Listen, this is why, though. This is why. Can I just? This is my sister. She gonna love me after this. Adeyemi's in all of life is very distracted. Very distracted. Pastor, I come up here. I wish I had a water bottle because I need the water bottle. Come over here with his water. His swag. He's so swaggy. Set that water down. And from the moment he puts the water down, you watch her next time too. Now you're going to be watching her and not the text. Like, wow. Watch that too. And then literally he starts to speak and you see the smile that just comes over her and it never goes away. The entire time. Am I lying, baby? That's her best friend. She would know. What has happened? This is a lady who's been walking with Jesus longer than Ike. Should we get real? But she found in her husband someone who has so soaked himself in the Word of God that she has so much to learn from him, and she's happy to sit at his feet because she knows he's sitting at the feet of someone else.
It's great.
That's what you should be wanting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what you should be longing for.
Yeah.
That's what you should be praying for. And when you pray those kinds of prayers, God answers. Like you really do. Now, I ain't gonna hold you. They might not look the part. Are you okay with that though? Can they play the role?
Yeah.
It got real quiet.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if we really want to pray like this. That all I care is that that man holds the word of God in his heart.
Yes.
And that sister holds the word of God in his heart.
Yeah.
In her heart. Now the text do go on to say, shorty look good. But as we said last week, the description of her appearance came after the servant prayed for her virtue.
Yeah.
What's first place in your priority for those who you are seeking?
Wow.
So at the end of it, after he recounts all that has happened, and he gives credit not to coincidence, but to the Creator. After all of that, he like, now if you don't comply, this is on you. I don't know what to tell you, but you're off. You've rejected steadfast love. You've rejected faith. Can you imagine walking up to a dad? Now, I don't know what to tell you, but I would just lay out all of what God has done. Now, I got so much confidence. This is the Lord's doing. You want to be disobedient to the Lord or not? Oh my gosh, it's so sweat. But hear me though. Ooh-wee, I'm about to say something. This is not just the Lord has told me. Because the Lord told me don't come with evidence.
Come on.
If the Lord really told you, the fruit will speak for itself. Fellas, especially fellas, just fellas. Can we just stop using the Lord told me? Can we please stop? Like, stop doing. Hey, dudes, look at me. Like, say something. Right now, I need an amen or something.
Amen.
They ain't feel real. They ain't feel real. Because she come to me telling me what he said. The Lord, bro, we talked. Right now, this is our talk. Don't you go talking about the Lord told me. Don't you go talking about the Lord told me. Why? Because the Lord knows how to talk for himself.
Ooh. Why? Thank you. Yes.
I'm in the Bible. Conversation continues. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing has come from the Lord. This is the dad and the brother. They said, we cannot speak good or bad. Why? Behold, Rebecca is before you. Take her and go and let her be the wife of your master's son. Here it is, as the Lord has spoken. The Lord knows how to talk for himself, y'all. So you don't got to really say the Lord told me, because the Lord will say, yeah, I told you. And everyone around will know it.
Right.
Hear me on this. I'm going to say something really hard for you. This text is so saturated with the steadfast love of Yahweh that even the people who are hearing the story cannot deny that this was, hear the words, a match made in heaven. But many of us try to call it a match made in heaven when no one around can see the fruit of that. Do you want to know how you can, like, know this is from the Lord? When it's really from the Lord won't just be the quiet director, but he will become a lead character because he just loves to write himself in the script.
Yeah.
He just likes to do that. Like, he He could not tell this story without saying Yahweh, 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 Yahweh. Why? Because the Lord loves to write himself into the script. If your relationship and the narrative of your relationship and the story of your relationship can be told without having to include Yahweh the entire time, then I'm telling you, he is not neither the lead character nor the director.
Yeah, come on, Doug.
You're directing this thing.
Yeah, that's scary.
And I'm telling you, it will not be a box office hit. Can I say this real quick? There are many of us who know this in our heart of hearts. We got the Spirit of God. There's a war within us, but because of our preference of what we like, we will try to tag Jesus on it. So instead of Jesus actually playing lead character, we'll give him a cameo appearance.
Wow.
What was the boy from Marvel? I forget his name. Like every Marvel movie, like show Stan Lee? Stan Lee, the writer of all the Marvel comics. He just get a little cameo. Like, plat out. And many of our relationships have cameo appearances of Jesus, but he is not the lead character.
Wow. My goodness.
The recounting of this report, Jesus, Yahweh, was the lead character. Because when he's really the director, he loves to write himself into the script. Now, after they said, as the Lord has spoken, when Abraham's servant heard their words, he bowed himself to earth before the Lord. He does not give credit to coincidence. He gives credit to the creator. Let me just tell y'all something just for free. When you don't plan, you'll say it happened randomly. When you plan, you'll say it happened strategically. But when you pray, though, you'll say it happened sovereignly.
Yeah, come on.
That's great.
Oh, that's so good.
The reason why we can't really give credit to Yahweh is because we ain't even pray about it.
Ooh, right.
And we know in our heart of hearts that I ain't go before the Lord. So the best we can do is try to, like, force his name on it. That's so real. You ever seen those, like, fake YouTube trailers? Where they, like, put a hodgepodge of different movies together starring Denzel Washington, but he was never in this. And we be trying to tell the trailer of the movie of our relationship, forcing movements of God and other people's relationships onto our own.
Wow.
And we don't have to do that if we just pray about it, though.
And
when you're done praying and you're pondering and you step back like the servant did and said, is this from the Lord? And then the Lord shows, this is me. Then you can turn and praise him. The servant does just that. Remember, the servant is most likely one who was a pagan before he came under the influence of Abraham. So now this pagan is worshiping the one true God because of his master Abraham. Verse 53, though, this is so crazy. And the servant brought out, yo, I'm about to lose my mind, jewelry of silver and gold and garments and gave them to Rebekah. Now, he already paid the engagement price. But now it's like he's overpaying for the bride. But I ain't done.
Come on.
He also gave, this is not customary, by the way, to her brother and her mother costly ornaments. What's required is that you pay the dad. He said, the brother can get some. Mama, you can get some too. Because he is so wealthy, he overpays for the bride. Verse 54. And he and the men who were with him ate and drank, and they spent the night there. And when they arose in the morning, he said, send me away to my master. Now, I gotta stop here. The servant is used to his master Abraham having a pattern of obedience that is marked by urgency. Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, When God sends him from the only place he's ever known to a place that he's never been, the text said he rose early in the morning. In Genesis 22, when God says, sacrifice your son, your only son whom you loved, Isaac, the text says that he arose early in the morning. So the servant has learned from his master Abraham this habit that when Yahweh tells you to do something, don't wait days, don't procrastinate, it's time to arise early in the morning. But there is a delay for him to be able to obey. Verse 55. Her brother and her mother said, I want to remind you of what he just said. Her brother, he said, the thing is from the Lord. Take her and go. Let her be the wife of your master's son as the Lord has spoken. That was verse 50 through 51. Now notice, the same brother says now, let the young woman remain with us for a while. Let us at least 10 days. By the way, in Hebrew, this is like an idiom. You know how we say like, yo, it's been a minute since we've seen each other. Mm. We don't like literally mean a minute.
Yeah.
He like, yo, let us stay like 10 days though. But he really means a year.
Oh, wow.
Now, that changed the context, don't it? After that, she may go. But he said to them, I love the swag. Do not delay me. Yo, man. When you know you're walking in God, there's a confidence. When you just, you know, you just saying with your chest a little bit louder. Now he's giving orders to the father and the brother and the mother of the woman he's hoping to bring back to his master. But when you walk in the authority of Yahweh, like you know is God, it's just like a sweat. Do not delay me. Since the Lord has prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master. They said, I love this. Let us call the young woman and ask her. And they called Rebekah and said to her, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. Stop.
Come on.
This is the end of the conversation, but I want you to notice something powerful.
Yeah.
Though this was an arranged marriage, it was not a forced marriage.
Yeah.
Arrangement is more of a recognition that the marriage affects more than the two people who have decided to marry. They did not arrange without also giving her a choice. I want you to please see this in the text. So can we just stop for a second and just learn from this culture? All of these people are talking around Rebekah. They like, all right, yeah, that's from the Lord. Dang, yo, that story crazy. Yo, that has to be Yahweh. That's the fingerprint of God. The servant is like, yeah, this is all the Lord. Notice how many people are involved in it. Abraham, the dad, the servant. We don't even know how many people he got in his posse. Can we even include the camels? Yeah, the escort to show, right? Then he shows up. You got Laban, Bethuel, and the mama. Who knows how many people in the town were also involved? And then we will learn later that also the nurse who sort of raised Rebekah, her nanny, if you will, is also involved. Let's just say for the sake of an estimate, this is like a dozen people or more. This is a dozen people involved with the coming together of two. Hey, Western American Christians, can we learn how to bring about a unity within community?
Yeah. Wow. Come on. Yeah.
So I'm just going to say this right now to y'all. If you're single, look at me, eyes here. Don't you dare start another relationship alone. Do not do it.
Yeah.
Some of y'all are frustrated with the dating process, and it's because you're doing it by yourself.
Yeah.
There's no one praying with you. There's no one who knows your preferences.
Yeah.
There's no one who's like this selfless servant who is looking out for you.
Come on.
Because you don't let nobody in.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because in reality, can I just speak for a recap, Greg? Oh. You want to do the relationship in secrecy.
Yeah.
Because you don't want accountability.
Come on. Yes.
Wow.
Come on.
That's right.
Speak it.
Come on.
Come on.
Maybe that's just my story, not yours. But the reason you don't want nobody to really be in y'all business is because you don't want nobody to have sight over how y'all are conducting y'all relationship. You afraid that if people saw how y'all were handling y'all relationship, they might say, this thing is not of the Lord. And it would destroy your preferences.
Wow.
But God has given them as a way to guard you from heartache.
Yeah.
Because though it feels good in a moment, and you've got the gooly goolies and the filly fillies. Doing your James Brown and carrying on week one and month one. And then by the end of the first year, they start to show their true colors. But now it's too late because this fling has turned physical.
Wow, yeah.
And because there's no accountability, you don't know how to stop the train from moving.
Right.
Yeah. So the train is moving, the train is moving, the train is moving, and inevitably it will crash.
Yeah.
But now when it wrecks, who are going to be your first responders?
Right. Come on.
Because no one knows that you were on the train in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's true.
Singles, you have now an opportunity.
Yeah.
Do this the right way. The way we ain't do it. Before I shared my testimony last week, I failed. Brittany failed. I praise the living God that there was community around us to help us through our failures. Mm-hmm. But some of y'all don't submit to community because you don't even really have it.
Right.
It doesn't have to be New Creation Fellowship, but get yourself in a body, yo.
Yeah.
In a family, yo. Maybe. Your earthly family is godly, loves Jesus, and they are enough to say to you, this thing is of the Lord or this thing is not. But for many of us, that is only going to come in the house of God.
Yeah.
And here's what's so good about Jesus. He says, yo, when you lay us out all these things, I will provide you, brothers and sisters and even parents, for what you lost in earth. Why? So that things like this won't feel lonely.
Yeah.
Like, raise your hand if you have a true spiritual father or mother. That saddens me, yo. Like, I want every hand to be raised. Raise your hand if you have weight. Not just a regular friend. Say regular.
Regular.
Regular friends are yes people. Raise your hand if you have a godly friend who, before they even tell you no, you can see the no in their face. Everybody got that? Like, you be coming like, yeah, I met this guy. You got nothing but, and man, he's awesome. And like, yes, he, you know, he's great looking. He has a really good job and all these finances. And your friend just staring at you. No smile. Anybody got those kind of friends?
Yep.
And it's like the more you try to smile to get them to smile, the more it turns into a frown, though. And it get real quiet. And then they ask a question, though.
Right.
So where'd you meet him? Yeah. It's a funny story. So you know, like, you remember when you couldn't get in touch with me Friday night? And they begin to explain a whole testimony that doesn't include Yahweh. And then that friend says, this thing is not of the Lord. Raise your hand if you got that kind of friend. Real rap, be honest though. Yeah. And you really got a friend who would tell you, nah, ain't from Jesus.
Right.
Now this is my last question, because I'm in the text. Raise your hand if you regularly submit your information to them as you're dating. Uh-oh. You know what we have in our lives? Can I just be honest? This is real. I'm just telling y'all how it is, y'all. This is me too, by the way. This is me too. We have in our friendships, I'll tell you when I get back from doing it.
Right. Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. Right.
But this was hilarious. And then ask for counsel.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think you know what counsel is. Counsel happens before you make your decision.
Right.
You already made it.
Right.
All you want is my yes. Because you want confirmation. And I'm like, no. But now you don't even want to talk to me.
Right.
Because I'm ruining a good thing. But like, yo, if you really got those kinds of friends, though, submit the information to them. So that they can inspect and sit back and ponder and ask the question, now, is this thing from the Lord? And here's when you know you're in really good friendships. When you have them, Jesus first, but you have your friend on your mind when you start dating. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. He starts, now how would Brittany feel about this?
Right.
When you like, now how, yo, Ike is, any decision, I'm like, now how would Ike, if I explain this to, like, what are you going to think about this? Meech, like, like, what are you going to think about that? And that's just in life.
Yeah.
How much more relationships?
Yeah.
You should have a godly friend, godly, somebody say godly though.
Godly.
Yo. We love running to peers who are only going to confirm us. Godly though. Who know how to tell us no. Like, going to a godly, and you're going into this relationship, and you don't even got to consult with them because you know what they were saying. Now, how would they look at this? And you begin to walk away from things because you know it's not from the Lord, simply because God has put somebody in your life who is a check to your soul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Singles, look at me. Do not do this alone.
Yeah.
But now my married folk.
Come on, God.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Y'all like, all right, we off the hook. My married folk. Some of y'all are doing y'all marriages alone because you ain't start off dating together. So you went on all by yourself on an island, said we gonna date. All you by yourself on an island, said we gonna get engaged. Then you send out wedding invitations. Y'all know what it is. Come join in celebrating what we decided without y'all. And confirm it on wedding day. And you got people who like, I hope. And then you get in marriage and you start having problems and you start having issues. But because you guys decided to date on an island, you now are doing your marriage on an island. Mm. And then God forbid infidelity arise. anger issues arise. Annoyance arises. Silent treatment arises. You got nobody to lean on. The text is all about doing this within community. You know what we got? Just letting y'all in on an example. Myself and Brittany have been married almost 15 years, baby. You still look good too, girl. Oh my goodness, you look good. I love you so much. And she's gotten just godlier with every year. Just more in the text. She know the Hebrew scriptures better than me. Just a monster. I love her to death. But we're not doing this alone, though. She is literally one of the godliest women I know in the planet. And I am not exaggerating. And one of the godliest women I know on the planet still be tripping sometimes. Uh-oh. Now, if a godly woman trip, well, he's spiritual, though. So whenever something is like really off for her, all I just be praying, please let Adi Anisi call her so they can go out all the time together. The movies, Disney, please, Lord, please, please, please. And if it's real bad, I'll just hit up Ari. Like, you take out Brittany for a while, y'all probably need to get out. Because I know she's going to come back different. Because we're doing this together. These two ladies already know. If one of us Negroes trip out, Brittany got somebody she can call. And your homie is tripping. Wilding out. She gonna call that man or that man. She get your boy. I can't talk to him no more. And I've been praying. Get your boy. Go handle business. I didn't see his nose. And just a text. Hey, things ain't right. Got you, my sis. Don't you want that? Don't that sound beautiful?
Yeah.
The text is about doing this within community. And we're so quick to write off arranged marriages that we miss the beauty of the redemptive narrative that they can actually preach to us.
Yeah.
That though it is arranged, it ain't forced.
Right.
It is about the recognition that the marriage affects more than just the two people who decided to marry.
That's great.
The proposal ends with the end of this conversation, and now we see the pronouncing as I get out of your way, verse 59. So they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men, and they blessed Rebekah and said to her, our sister may become thousands of 10,000s, and may your offspring possess the gate of those who hate him. There's wordplay going on here in Hebrew. For the language of thousands of 10,000s, actually sounds similar to the name Rebekah. So just in the same way that Abraham was a play on the word bless, and Isaac was a play on the word laughter, Rebekah is a play on the word thousands. And then he says, oh, I love this. May your offspring possess the gate, say the gate,
gates,
of those who hate him. That this bride will possess the gate of her enemies. That, in other words, if she possesses the gate of her enemies, can the gate of the enemy prevail over her?
Ooh, come on.
Then Rebekah, verse 61, and her young women arose and rode on the camels and followed the man. Thus the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now Isaac returned. Fellas, say fellas.
Fellas.
I need the fellas just to say fellas, not the lady. Fellas, say fellas.
Fellas.
Fellas, say fellas.
Yes.
Fellas, say fellas.
Yes.
I'd like to hear that. The bass. Now, Isaac returned from Beer Leroy and was dwelling in the Negev. And Isaac went out Fellas, say meditate.
Meditate.
Woo-wee. He went out to meditate. Someone, one time, say meditate.
Meditate.
One time, say meditate.
Meditate.
In the field toward evening. Why would God the Holy Spirit put that there? That is such an unnecessary detail, ain't it? When you see unnecessary details, you should look closely. That's just a hermeneutical tool. Why would he give us that detail? Because it is during the meditation that he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, there were camels coming. And Rebecca lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camel and said to the servant, I like this. Who is that man? Walking in the field to meet us. The servant said, it is my master. So she took her veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Notice Isaac don't give a response. Then Isaac, verse 67, brought her into the tent of Sarah, his mother, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. I love this. And he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Jesus. What a beautiful love story. A match made in heaven. Did you see what happens? The servant is coming back, and Isaac is meditating. And as Isaac is meditating, he lifts up his eyes and he sees something. Can I tell you why in Genesis this is really important? Because that phrase, lifted up his eyes, the last time that was used was in Genesis 22. Do you know what happened there? Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw a ram caught in the thicket.
Wow.
And he said, the Lord has provided.
Wow.
Jehovah Jireh. So now here is the son who was the one who was offered on split wood.
Wow.
Who is now lifting up his eyes. And he doesn't see Jireh providing a substitute, but he sees Jireh providing a wife.
Wow.
Do you know how much more he's going to love her? Because he knows it's from the hand of God.
Come on, Doc. Come on.
Wow.
Come on.
Great.
Come on.
So good. Wow.
That's great.
Come on.
One of the painful aspects of reading the Torah and really the entirety of the Old Testament is how poorly marriages were done. At best, what you'll see is polygamy where the husband loved one of the wives.
Yeah.
Here's a monogamous relationship where it says he loved her. You can almost see it kind of like Genesis 2, where God brings Eve to Adam.
Right. Yeah.
And my man breaks out into a freestyle. This is the last bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because he's taken out a man. So he busts a freestyle because when he sees Jireh, the Lord providing something, it makes him love it more.
Yes.
Yeah.
He lifts up his eyes. Jireh, providing. Mm. And I love the language of the text. The text says, the servant recounted all that he had done. And Isaac don't say nothing to him. You almost see it like, Isaac, so I'm meditating. Man, Yahweh, I praise you. El Shaddai, you're wonderful. Elohim, you are amazing. Dang. Sheesh. Sheesh. So then they keep coming, they keep coming, they keep coming. She got the veil over her now, but he already seen enough. It's too late for that. And then, so we're like, let me tell you what I did. He like, yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Yo, that's crazy. That's crazy. Yo, that's wild. That's wild. You always see him like staring at her the whole time he talking, like, yo, that's crazy. That's real crazy. So, real quick though, she's mine? Like, I hear your whole story. That one's mine? I appreciate everything you did. We have work to do.
There you gotta go.
Oh, don't need to talk. I appreciate you. I really do. Got business to take care of. But this only happens with joy and not heartbreak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When it is a match made in heaven.
Yes.
Some of you have experienced heartbreaking relationships. Some of you have not done it this way. Some of you really couldn't see the hand of Yahweh over your relationship. And because of that, you might not even be with that person right now. And you're wondering, can he restore us? Or, if it's totally done, can he restore me? The answer to your question is found in the fact that there was another match made in heaven.
Yeah, come on.
Because the Lord loves to write himself into the script, he himself decided to write his own love story. And the son who was offered on split wood, to whom Yahweh gave all things into his hands, wanted to have his own wife. So he does what any man does. He travels. He does not send a servant. He comes himself. Yeah. And he makes a proposal. But this proposal was not to simply take the church's hand in marriage. It was for him to stretch out his own hands in marriage. And by him stretching out his hands on the cross, he is literally saying to anybody who will hear him, will you marry me?
Yeah.
In other words, the Lord Jesus had a crush on the church. So it pleased the Father to crush him.
Wow.
To see him bleeding for you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. To see him ripped to shreds for you. See him broken for you, mocked for you, scorned for you, and ultimately giving you an engagement type of present, namely the precious blood of Christ. I don't know if you know this, but the precious blood of Christ is the most expensive commodity in the entire cosmos.
Yeah.
In other words, he overpaid for his bride.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he stayed there all night Friday. Mm. And he stayed there all night Saturday.
Yeah.
But because Jesus knows how to obey his master, he arose early in the morning. To take his wife.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
And through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, we who have now placed our faith in him have now been engrafted into the body called the church, the bride of Christ. But our story does not end with his mere resurrection, does it? For no, he ascended into heaven, where he is seated at the right hand of God, not meditating, but mediating.
Thank you, Jesus.
Until the day comes where the Lord Jesus will crack the sky. And he will make good on his promise. For he did not only leave us with the precious blood of Christ, but he also gave us an engagement gift.
Yeah.
The Spirit of the living God.
Yeah.
Who is a guarantee of our wedding day until we acquire possession of it. And on that day, when we see the Lord Jesus face to face, we will be thousands of 10,000s. And it will be made clear that the bride of Christ possessed the gate of her enemies. For our Savior said that on this rock, I will build my bride. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And on that day, hallelujah, there won't be divorce anymore.
Thank you, Jesus.
There won't be separation anymore. There won't be infidelity anymore.
Thank you, Lord.
There won't be mental abuse anymore.
Thank you, Lord.
Physical abuse anymore. Domestic abuse anymore.
Thank you, Jesus.
For a perfected bride, we will be wed to a perfect groom.
Yes.
This is the story that you've been grafted into.
Yeah.
And so whether or not you experience that on earth, know that if you are in the bride of Christ, you are already part of a match made in heaven. Amen. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you.